Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place Podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James and Josh. How's it going, guys?
Doing good here. How are we doing tonight?
What's up?
Doing pretty good. I won both games that we played over the weekend. Videos will be coming out soon. A little bit of a teaser for that.
Just got to brag.
I know, right? I see how it is.
Participated.
I was sitting on Baltic and cracked the whole time. It's like, oh my god, I'm gonna play something. They're like, oh my god, he played something. Destroy it immediately. And I'm like, okay, I'll just go back to doing nothing, I guess. That was basically the summary of my night.
Let's see. Today we're talking about Vintage Cube changes, but before we get into the show or anything, got a couple things to plug here. First thing is you can support us directly on Patreon. And that's where gives us the most beneficial there to help keep making awesome content for you guys. Second way is using the GCG Player affiliate link. Click that in the show notes. You can pick up any of these cards if you want to build your own Vintage Cube. Some of these might be kind of expensive, though. But if you use the GCG Player affiliate link in the show notes, it lets them know we sent you over there. That helps support the show as well. Finally, the free way. Subscribe to our YouTube, share our YouTube, sub to Spotify, share it, let people know. All right, let's see. Before we get into the main changes, you want to do a little bit of a newer segment here. I think we might have done one previously too, but we're doing a crack a pack here, a vintage cube. We'll get the guy who cubes the most, Josh, and we'll get James's input too as well. But first up in this pack, we got Blazing Root Wallop. What do you think of this card?
Yeah, I think we're going to go over. It's one of the new cards. Madness.
Yeah, this is a new one.
Theme. Not something you want to pack one, pick one. I think pack one, pick one's pretty easy to like choose from. What you want to do in cube is like it's your pick three, pick four is really where you like pick. So I think our pack one, pick one's going to be pretty more obvious than a Root Wallop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't start with your wall either. No, second card is Ren and Six.
I'd start with that.
That's powerhouse, just to say the least.
That's a good card.
Yeah,
pair that with Strip Mine. I would pick Strip Mine over that, but I would like to be in the seat of Ren.
And then we got Underground Sea.
Very pickable. You need your lands.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's hard to say what colors are going to be. But Dimir is a fantastic color in cube though, so
blue.
It might be a good
power.
One to pick kind of early because that's probably not going to loop back around. Like unless you got something really good in the pack with it. Yeah, someone's probably going to take it. Seas are good.
Then we got the Sea Chrome Coast.
I would rather have
not
sea.
Premium land. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a little less good. Yeah.
Ren and Six, right? Yes. Yeah. Over Underground Sea, I would.
Then we got the Deep Root Wayfinder.
Hopefully we wheel that with our Ren and Six.
Yeah, you're hoping to see that one again. Less likely for someone to snipe it, so you're.
Then we got Shadow Spear.
Awesome card. I love that card.
Yeah, it's really good. Performing.
I've been back and forth on it. I like it in an aggressive deck, and I don't really like it otherwise. But
yeah.
Yeah.
If you have Urza Saga, it's a nice target.
It's got good pressure, so it can definitely do some work for you. But you have to have the right kind of deck for it, honestly.
Then we got Adeline, which I've actually thought plays better than it looks.
Oh, yeah. She's great. I wouldn't first pick it. That would be like a pick five, pick six, I would imagine. But still great in aggro. That wouldn't signal me that mono white's open or anything, but... It's a good deck.
Then we got the Concealing Curtain.
Solid card, but...
Yeah, it's not first pickable.
Nothing to go home about.
Then we got Verdant Catacombs.
Okay, fetch lands are more of a premium because they can find...
Yeah. I'd probably take that over C.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, fetches are really, really good, especially if you're pairing them with something like Brainstorm.
Brainstorm Shuffle Effects.
They're really, really good
works
for that.
Works well with Ren.
Works well with Ren. World. Yeah, I would say you would definitely probably take fetch lands over any most other kind of lands, probably.
Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're like in pack three or middle of pack two or something, and it's like, I need this color. I'm this pairing.
Yeah. Especially if it's giving you a color you need and you don't have. Yeah. That is very good.
Then we got Hangerback Walker.
Pretty mid.
It's all right. It's not great.
Then we got Urborg.
I like it.
Urborg can be pretty good.
It unlocks your Dark Depths, like to tap for mana, and does some other stuff. So, like Doomsday's in the cube where you need triple black, which is tough.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good lands that don't actually give you mana, so Urborg definitely helps a lot with that.
Yep, Bizarre Baghdad's back in.
Yeah.
Then we got Recruiter of the Guard.
Kiki Guard. Back.
It's fine. I don't know if
I would
pick that
still
over.
Still probably picking Ren or the Catacombs here, though.
Yeah, 100%.
Those are top. Those are top right now.
Then we got Pile On.
Solid removal, but...
Solid removal.
Yeah.
And then the last card is Rona, Herald of Invasion.
Love this card, but not first pickable.
Yeah.
I do really like that card.
It's good.
Me personally, I'd probably start with Verdant Catacombs because I prefer just to get a fetch land.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Ren getting 6, a fetch first. If you're not, don't want to pick a land first. I prioritize it probably too highly, but...
You do.
Yeah, it's a tough call, but...
What would you pick, Josh? You pick Ren here?
I'd pick Ren, probably. Yeah.
I'd probably pick Ren, too, to come around. Yeah. I mean, it might not, but... I mean, especially if there's also a C in it, that makes it more likely that it might come around. Like
Verdant's not coming around. No way.
No, yeah. I mean, the next pick's probably Verdant Catacombs, Underground C.
Yeah.
Because those are really good. And Adolin, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
But yeah, Ren's really good.
Where's the power? And
that's a very powerful card. Yeah, zero power. Surprising.
All right, so let's see. The vintage cube changes here. First up for white, we got Benevolent Bodyguard in for Esper Sentinel.
Pretty sad.
Yeah, I like Esper Sentinel, so.
That is unfortunate. Yeah.
They're cutting artifact synergy, I guess, a little bit of it, not like all of it, but Tinker's not as powerful anymore. They're cutting Storm, I guess, is a huge thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Is the bodyguard good?
It, like they say, it plays well with Lurrus, but that, I mean, aggro is good. I don't know if Mono White needed a buff at all, but here we are.
I'd still rather play Esper Sentinel over the bodyguarded Mono White, though.
Yeah.
But all right, and then we got Eagles of the North in for Steel Seraph. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, they're doing all of the one mana cyclers from Lord of the Rings. They've been performing really well, so why not put them all in?
They can be pretty freaking good, honestly.
Finding Triomes, reanimating them, having the shuffle effect. Mm-hmm. We all sit with Rainstorm. I've been counting all of them as lands too, just like as my land count runs 16 lands and one of the one mana cyclers. Like, unless you just have gas all the time, it's a little risky. Yeah,
I mean, it can pay off pretty well.
I don't usually count them as a land, but I'll count a Mox as a land, but I usually don't.
Oh, yeah. Them. Oh, yeah.
Unless
oh,
I have like two, if I have two cyclers, I might count it as a land.
Okay.
And then Ephemerate is in for Treachery, which is funny because I hate Treachery.
Yeah.
Ephemerate's pretty good, honestly. That's a good card.
That's classic, but it's 5 mana is a lot nowadays in Vintage Cube.
It is. It definitely is. Ephemerate literally costs nothing, basically, in comparison.
Ephemerate's good with any ETB.
I love Ephemerate.
Yeah. Lots of ETBs. Ephemerate,
Eternal
love
Witness.
This card.
Time walk action. Yeah. Counterspell with it. Oh, so fun. Venser's back in. They're doing a sort of like blink again, sub theme ish.
Yeah.
Ephemerate's powerful. Treachery's had really its good. Time. It can rest.
Yeah, we've seen Treachery a lot.
We got Get Lost coming in for Portable Hole.
They're almost I don't know about you guys. I think
yeah, they're pretty similar. Portable. Yeah.
I don't like Get Lost. Like, giving your opponent two map tokens are, like, those are really usable and very good. Like,
yeah, yeah, but, I mean, in Vintage, if they're spending their mana on a map token, you're probably like, thanks. Yeah. You're doing other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like there's probably walkers. Better things you can do with your mana, right?
It's still
Portable stuff. Hole is good in Vintage Cube.
Yeah.
Get Lost can hit anything versus just a mana value two or less.
I don't know. Two mana, giving your opponent stuff.
I feel like if I pick Get Lost, though, I'm probably not main decking it. Yeah. Like, I'm more likely to main deck like a Swords or a Path than Get Lost. Like, Get Lost would be like, I'm playing Show and Tell against Show and Tell or Reanimator deck. I'm going to board it in.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Then we got the Guardian of New Benalia in for Nettlecyst.
They cut out my artifacts.
Guardian's pretty good, man.
I mean, they're just trying to take out artifacts. Nettlecyst is a great artifact.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really good. It's one of the living weapons, which are always great. So you don't have to equip it to anything.
I haven't played with Guardian of New Millennia yet, but I like the discard card.
It was insane in Limited in the format it was in.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it stands up in Vintage Cube, though.
The discard card, it's a discard outlet, so Reanimator, I mean, you want...
Yeah, Reanimator likes the... Like
some weird black-white Reanimate.
I'm sure it's possible.
So it has two homes, Aggro and Reanimate, so I
can see it. Yeah, it could work.
Then we got Ranger, Captain of Eos, and for Mentor. I always like Mentor, but...
Mentor is really good. That's Ranger's good kind for of Aggro. Unfortunate. Ranger is pretty good. It costs three.
But it's Mentor, so good. But... why do they cut Esper Sentinel, though? For Ranger Captain, find Esper is like the thing I always do in CEDH.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe it's EDH, not 1v1. But being able to sack him on like any time and your opponents can't cast non-creature spells could be very, very vital.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's better against Storm decks, though, too.
Storm's you see them play their Underworld Breach and you just sack them and you're like, okay, you can't do anything. Yeah. Or, like, if you do it on your upkeep, you sack this if you have, like, an aggro board, you make sure your opponent can't, like, cast, like, some sort of instant speed board wipe. Maybe you do it on your opponent's upkeep, sack them, so then they can't do a sorcery speed board wipe.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it definitely has some utility for sure, which is nice.
Yeah, then we got Resto in for Gideon.
Resto's pretty.
I don't really pretty play decent. Gideon anyway.
Yeah, Gideon. Gideon's a pretty good planeswalker for what he is. He does do a bit, but Resto Angel is pretty decent.
The blink theme, and we'll get to it. Kiki's back.
Yeah.
So, combo card with Kiki.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good with that.
And we got the Sun Gold Sentinel in for Lion Sash. I think Lion Sash is a million times better, but...
Oh, yeah, it is. Jesus.
My artifacts.
I mean, again, yeah, it's kind of aggro.
Again, they're just getting rid of the artifacts.
I don't know. You really... I guess you got to hope, like, that incidental graveyard hate actually works. Right. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's like, because you hit one card instead of...
Reanimate, you can Lion Sash is so much better at that.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Then we got the Restoration of the Janjo over Wedding Announcement. I don't know, Restoration is not that good of a card, but if you're playing mono white, it's okay.
But I would rather have Wedding Announcement. It's just so...
I know, it's so
Wedding
better.
Announcement's way better,
like,
right?
This is probably one of them, like, fails. Like, I'm like,
I do not see why they did this. Like, that's definitely a nerf, 100%. That's...
I mean, it's okay in the ETB deck if you have something two or less you want to bring back, but...
Yeah. the Malevolent bodyguard that they just put in, I guess. They're trying to make Luris better.
Then we got the Werefox bodyguard for Leyline Binding. I really like Binding, but
Binding's pretty
with
good.
All the triumphs.
The Werefox is okay.
They cut the domain warriors, and I think this is they saw this as domain, just like put that part of the cat package. But this just being in the cube with triumphs and everything, it's just it's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful.
Rip.
Then we got on the blue, we got Careful Study in for Charter Course, which I like because I'm an OG reanimated player.
Careful Study is a pretty good card. Yeah. And especially if you're doing something like reanimation wise,
Charter Course is really good for that. Card or two cards for two mana, whereas Careful Study doesn't.
I think I like that versatility where like if you do go into that mid game, that long game, Charter Course is just way better, where you can actually draw some cards. Careful Study is more of a combo card, like you said, for your reanimator, you need to do something. Not really like.
Also works with like the madness theme they're trying to
do. Yes, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
I love the Charter Course.
And then Consider, which is an okay card. It's probably the worst of the blue cantrips. Is in for High Tide, which I've
For High Tide? Really?
High Tide's gone.
Yep. High Tide's so good. That kind of sucks, man.
They're cutting Storm.
Storm is gonna hurt real bad.
There's no Storm cards in this cube iteration of the cube.
Oh, so it's just not a deck anymore.
They kept Brain Freeze.
Yeah, right.
They kept one card.
They kept what card?
Brain Freeze.
That's the only one that's still.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, they cut like
High
the
Tide
mana doublers.
So. High Tide can be so versatile, though, because there's so much shit you can play with it, you know?
Yeah.
Consider's like, you draw a card and you surveil.
I mean, because like you could also just play High Tide to get a bunch of mana and just jam something.
Exactly. You just jam, like, fucking something huge, right?
I liked it with, like, Frantic Search and stuff, your untappers. They cut the double mana doublers a while ago, but if they bring back that with Panholicon or whatever, that untapped 7 guy... Paragon Drake type things, that could be really fun if they put it all in a package, but just didn't have a home anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
And we got the Cryptic Coat in for Psy.
Didn't we agree that this card wasn't that good?
We did, and we were wrong, because it ended up being a fucking bomb.
It apparently went off.
Well, apparently having a repeatable True Name Nemesis is good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being able to bounce it. That's fair.
I played a few runs already, and I tried destroying this Cryptic Coat, and then they bounced it with 2 mana, and I was like, "Oh yeah, that's also on that card."
Yep. Yeah, that's kind of good, right?
Yeah, you can't really get rid of it.
Yeah, I didn't like Psy. I'm glad we're cutting Psy.
Yeah, I didn't like Psy either.
Casting an artifact was a big payoff. It's not like the other ones that say non-creature spell, like Crumhost Seed Shark or the one that makes Soldier artifacts. Third Path Iconoclast. This one's artifacts.
Right.
It was tough. It could sack your One Ring, though, which was nice, but that was about it.
Then we got Deceiver Exarch, part of the Kiki Jiki Splinter Twin combo.
Yep.
And for Emery, well, if you're cutting artifacts, you don't really need Emery.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of it.
Yep.
So that's kind of obvious.
And then Ethereal Forger, which is like, what?
Yeah, okay.
For Tezzeret.
Tezzeret's seen better days.
I don't know how if I ever would play the Forger either, though, unless I'm
But like, I feel like I'd play Tezzeret over the Forger, right?
What if you had like Time Spiral and or Time Walk, extra turns?
Yeah, I guess it's good with Time Walk.
Yeah.
And Recall. Like, I feel like it's best in like a control deck, like blue, white, or blue, black.
Yeah, it's good for that for sure.
It's your Murktide at home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Factor Fiction's back, which I don't think is that good of a card anymore.
It's okay. Yeah, it was a lot better back in the day.
Mm-hmm. I think we're cutting artifacts, and the decks who wanted paradoxical outcome can run Factor Fiction. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's
a fine trade there.
Yeah.
Mental note, which is what we're self milling. Yeah. Okay. For hard evidence, I think hard evidence was a great blue card.
Oh yeah. Blocks the Regavan, man. It was so nice.
What do you think of mental note? You like that card or not?
No.
Not really. Unless you're like,
a weird one, yeah.
Unless they're you're really trying to get stuff in the graveyard for some reason, that would be the madness. Only reason you play this. Yeah, madness, yeah. Maybe, sure.
They're really trying to make of some kind. Work.
But doesn't madness only work if you discard, not if you mill?
Ooh, this is
that's
mill,
true.
Isn't
it's got it from your hand. Yeah.
What is this card? Thought Scour still in here, I think. What?
Yeah, it just goes a full graveyard, provides more options in this iteration. So it's for that other blue card and like Murktide and stuff. Like all the Delve cards, I guess.
Trying to make Thor cold naturally without Doomsday or anything.
Then we got Pestermind in for Trinket Mage. Again, that's with the combo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when Trinket Mage, like you had a piece of power, I wasn't even like happy playing it.
I didn't think Trinket Mage was that great.
Yeah.
And then I've been a fan of this card, actually, as Picklock Prankster. It's a pretty good card. You mill four, put an instant sorcery of fairy in your hand, and then, but I mean, they took out Turnabout, which is whatever.
That's
maybe 25% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turnabout was kind of all in. Yeah. Like, if you were in that deck, you got it. If you're.
Like, the Prankster is not like a super high power level card, but it's like a. It's an okay filler card if you just need something to play. Like,
oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's great for that.
It was really good in the limited format it was in.
Just the fact that it has like flying and vigilance too, like it can do quite a bit.
And cruise and for Gush, cruise is always good.
Cruise is insane, so of course,
yeah,
that's no brainer there.
Venser in for Snap. I prefer Snap, but you know.
Yeah, Snap's really good, but Venser's got some uses, you know.
Venser's good, but I feel like he's just outclassed now.
I love him with Caracas, and this is the only place I can play Caracas and Venser.
That's true.
Just lock out your opponent.
I like Snap because it untaps two lands. It's like a free bounce. Like,
yeah, but they're taking away High Tide and like. They should bring back all of those during one.
All the other reasons you would play that, basically. They're taking away Gush.
Yeah.
I don't know why we need this card, but Waker of Waves.
I think it looks way worse than it plays. Like, this is going to play really well. It's a cantrip.
Yeah. You're just going to discard it.
Yeah, it's a cantrip. Damn. And then you can reanimate it.
I don't think I would ever actually play it.
That's true. Getting rid of Dress Down, which is a good card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of sad. But
that's unfortunate.
I don't know if it hit too much in the cube. It's a good commander card.
No, I don't think there's a ton that mattered with. Let's see. And then we're on to black here. Aria is in for Flesh Gorger. I don't know what I have to play with that to see. I don't think Flesh Gorger was that good anyway.
Flesh Gorger is pretty mid, man. So I think that's all right.
I like Fling a lot, so she seems fun.
Well, yeah. Sure.
And then Bizarre's in for Field of the Dead.
Bizarre's good,
whatever. So. I mean, I guess if you need Dredge and stuff.
Dredge and Madness. I loved Field of the Dead, even if there's not like a Lands Matter type theme. If I'm just drafting fetch lands, like I'm Corey.
I'd play it if I just had 10 different lands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it, but... We'll see. Bizarre might be actually good this iteration.
It could be good, yeah.
It hasn't been in the past, but...
Mm-hmm. And we got Bloodghast in for Jadar. That's fine.
Classic card.
Yeah, that's a good card.
Love Bloodghast.
Good old days there.
What the hell is this card? Dog Detective?
Dog Detective. That's one of the newer ones.
Surveil 2. When they draw their second card, you can return it from your graveyard to your hand. Over Cabal Ritual.
Yeah, there goes your Storm card.
Hulk Storm's gone.
I guess it works with Insidious Roots. Another self mill card.
Yeah, there's so many now.
So much self mill, man.
Angler's always good.
Angler's super good. Yeah.
In for Imperial Seal.
I think I like I'm okay my tutors,
but this one was the worst one of them all, of course.
Yeah. And Angler does some work, man. It can be really, really good.
Then Inverter of Truth is in for Beseech the Mirror.
I think Beseech looks good on paper. I wanted to play with it so much, but like triple black and four mana was like a lot. Yeah, it's
hard to do. In cube especially.
I mean, Inverter basically makes your graveyard your deck, right?
Yeah, this is Thassa's Oracle. If your other Doomsday type combo.
Living Death in for Tendrils.
Yep. Heck yeah. He knows yet another Storm card.
But Living Death should be fun.
Yeah, it's fun in
Commander when people play it.
Yep.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Lord Skitter, the Rat King guy, in for Graveyard Trespasser.
Both 3-mana, 3/3s that incidentally exile things from graveyards.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's not a huge change.
The RTR stud Pack Rat is in.
Pack Rat. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, baby.
Turok, though, which I was a fan of Turok. But
yeah, Turok's kind of cool.
Pack Rat's good, though.
Yeah, Pack Rat's an
all-star.
Fucking classic card, man.
And then Pile On for Baleful Mastery, which is they're like the same card almost.
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
Yeah.
Let's see. Shadowgrange Archfiend for Boloss's Citadel.
I liked my Citadel a lot. But
Citadel
the Archfiend's good in a Madness deck, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you have to work pretty hard to make Citadel like work well, don't you?
You gain the life back to whatever you make them sacrifice, though, so paying 8 life's not...
Right.
It's a cost, but...
I mean, you could also just reanimate it.
That too?
Pretty sure.
Souls of the Lost is a weird one. It's kind of like a black Tarmogoyf.
Yep.
Yeah.
For Night's Whisper.
I like Night's Whisper.
Night's Whisper is kind of good. So, I don't know.
I thought this was weird when we were drafting this. I was like, why is Staxolite Stalker added to this? For Blood Chief's Thirst. But the Stalker in like a controlling matchup can take over the game a little bit because like with all the fetch lands and stuff, it could trigger Descended a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did play a match... I think I was just playing Legacy and someone played the Stalker in their deck and they exiled my graveyard and I was like, okay, well I'll just reanimate your Stalker and I got it up to like a 6/6 with fetch lands and stuff. It was just
nice
beating down.
Well, hey, it was doing work there.
It's also being able to take something down with it too.
It's
pretty nice.
Then Stitcher Supplier's in for Reign of Filth. It's fine.
Yeah, that's
another stone card.
I like Stitcher Supplier a lot, but Reign of the Filth was like very niche. Very niche.
Yeah.
I don't really like this because I like Yogg's Will, but Tortured Existence is in for Yogg's Will.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yogg's Will's pretty good. Yogg's
Will in. But whatever, I guess.
All of like the rituals are gone.
Right.
I don't know.
Then we got Woe Strider in for Massacre Girl. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't really care about either of these cards.
Yeah, it's both are not really hugely played, I feel.
And then we're on to red here. We got Anger in for Embercleave. I mean, both are played in like Aggro decks.
Mm-hmm. Cleave is really good, but Anger's a sick card.
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's again very OG and especially in red. Ooh, red loves haste.
If I'm playing Mental Note or Thought Scour, whatever those ones that making you mill cards. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's Anger. That's nice.
Well, okay. Sure. I can have haste.
Angie's Ravager in for Brea's Apprentice. So every time you attack, you discard your hand, draw three.
Oh, yeah.
You have to attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good for Madness, I guess.
Yeah. No, I think this is good on its own.
Yeah.
Mono red, even? You don't have any cards in your hand. What are you discarding?
Yeah,
you
mono red
is right, but if you play this turn three and you already had, and you still have like four cards in your hand?
That's, you're playing it wrong.
Yeah. You should be playing it later.
This is like a mono red.
Or if you have Madness cards.
Yeah, maybe you got Madness cards. Maybe you're playing Reanimator. I don't know.
Yeah. Could be Reanimate too.
I think this is going to be powerhouse.
Yeah, it seems pretty decent. Seems good.
And we got Avacyn's Judgment in for Arc Trail.
Madness.
Arc Trail kind of sucked anyway.
Yeah, Arc Trail's not that great. Yeah,
you rarely got the 2-for-1. That's what you want to do with Arc Trail.
That Madness is pretty insane.
Blazing Luwala, good aggro card in for Rabbit Battery.
Yeah. Not a huge fan of Rabbit Battery, so I don't
know. Yeah,
let's try out
Death Madness. Reader's Champion. Zin for Frixian Dragon Engine.
I like the Dragon Engine for Mishra's Workshop, but I think Death Breeder's Champion is going to be huge.
It's nice to give something double strike for a
turn. Yeah.
Double strike's sick. It does a lot of work on its own, honestly.
Well, and you can dash it too, so you keep doing it.
Keep giving something else double strike. +1/+1 counters.
That can be pretty freaking good, man.
It looks amazing.
Demand Answers is in for Shrapnel Blast, which is the loot effect. It's pretty good because you get second artifact. Mm-hmm.
But weren't we just talking about how they were getting rid of artifacts? So how many artifacts are going to be left?
Well, you can also just discard a card and draw two.
You stack your mocks.
Yeah. I feel like stacking your mocks is a terrible idea.
To draw two, it might be worth it.
Maybe I don't know. Hard to say. I guess the situation depends. But
the Dreadhorde Arcanist for Rada, which is fine.
We're going to get to green and power matters is kind of a thing, so you can buff this guy. Maybe get like a time walk again or something. Seems
they listed this as a red card, but Fauna Shaman.
Why is that red? It's
for Sakura Tribe Elder. It's not red. It's a green card.
Fauna Shaman's pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
I think.
With Survival of Fittest coming back in, there's some things like that Bloodgast you want to put in your graveyard to come back or other fun things.
Fugitive Codebreaker, which is a pretty solid card. It's in for Goblin Crater Maker. I mean, you can disguise decent, it, flip it up, or you can just play it in like a Prowess aggro deck.
Don't really care about these cards.
Then we got Goblin Bombardment in for Tribal Flames. Is there anything that makes a bunch of tokens?
Not really. Always Ophiomancer, but I think this is still cool on its own. I like having a sack outlet.
Yeah,
Kiki's back, so
I mean, you could probably do something with that.
I don't know.
Then we got Headliner Scarlet is in for Hellrider.
Hey, we were just playing Clue.
Yeah, I know, right? Scarlet's pretty good, man. She does some work.
Yeah, I'm happy she's in here. Yeah, I liked Hellrider a lot, but
I liked Hellrider too, but.
I think Scarlet's going to be great though. Like she's super good.
I'm happy with Scarlet in. If I had to cut Hellrider, fine.
Yeah, that's
Kenrus? Is it Kenrus Spell Spear in for Goblin Engineer?
Mm-hmm.
One you could flip into Prowess.
Yeah,
which is pretty solid.
I think it plays better than it looks as an uncommon. Like that, the flip's crazy. It's got Ward as well.
Yeah.
Kiki Jiki.
There he is. Big boy. Especially if we're getting rid of Storm, sure. You're piece for piece, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Kiki Jiki, I mean, there's not much we need to say about that. That's just, card does a shit.
You got Lava Dart in for Pyrite Spell Bomb. That works with the other card that they're adding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Lava Dart a lot.
Lava Dart can be pretty good, honestly.
Flashback, Monstrous Mountain, Instant Speed.
So Monstrous Rage is in for Manamorphose? Interesting.
People were saying like Monstrous Rage was making a standard deck. I thought I heard like this actually is better than it looks.
I mean, yeah, it's you're getting a +3/+1 trample when the turn you play it, and then you leave 1/1 trample behind.
Yep.
For one mana.
For one mana instant.
Like that's pretty good. I mean, Manamorph definitely did some work, but this is just a shit ton of aggro, so.
Yep. Storm's gone. Get it out of here.
Yeah.
Ogier Axnol, which is in for Duretti. That's where you play the Lava Dart in that deck.
Just The Lava Dart, you Monstrous Rage to the Ogier Axnol, and then you Lava Dart for 8 7 damage. 7.
A ton, yeah.
7 in the flashback for another 7.
Yeah, yeah. That's that. This is the combo right here, baby.
There it is.
Yeah, that's really
good. We got Reckless Charge in for the Aether Spell Bomb.
Power Matters. Let's go. Mm-hmm.
Power Splinter Matters Twins in for Mystic Forge.
Yep, there it is. Yeah.
Sad about Mystic Forge, but yeah, Storm's gone, so yeah, my Sensei's Divine Top. Mystic Forge, Mana Reducer, Dream. I've done it enough, I guess.
Splinter Twin, of course, is a fun Goblin time, Welder,
which is a good Survival of the Fittest card.
Yep. Fauna Shaman. That we went over. Good.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Zealous Conscripts, combos of Kiki.
Yep.
But for Glorybringer.
Glorybringer, though. Glorybringer was sweet.
Glorybringer's good. That's unfortunate, man.
Well, they kept Goldspan Dragon over Glorybringer. I don't know why.
Yeah, I would have got rid of Goldspan, right?
Yeah.
Then we're on to green here. We got Basking Walla for the Ebroil Grazer. It's whatever.
That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, not a huge deal.
Become Immense for the Reservoir.
Storm's gone, so.
Storm's gone, so.
Berserk for Reclamation Sage. I am a fan of Berserk.
Berserk's really good. That can just destroy somebody.
Yeah, that's like the best Power Matters card. You don't need to be the Power Matters. This is a card.
Then Blossoming Tortoise for Garruk.
If you guys remember, one of my first combos was Blossoming Tortoise and Lava Claw Reaches. The man land that you pay one to buff its attack.
Cost less, and then it keeps getting +1/+1.
It's in the queue.
Tortoise does quite a lot of stuff, honestly, for what it is.
E-Witness is in for Regrowth.
Let's go.
Same card.
I mean, it is, but E-Witness is a creature, so.
Ephemerate, like we were saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can buy
Generous Ent is in for Kogla. I'd rather play Kogla, but, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't like Kogla.
You didn't like it? I thought it was good because you could blow up artifacts and enchantments.
Yeah. Just felt slow to me, but.
Just didn't haste it enough.
I like the Cyclers from Lord of the Rings. So
we got the Haywire Mite in for Nature's Claim, similar cards.
Yeah. Pretty much the same thing.
Hooting Mandrills. I'm not a fan of this for Titan Industry. Nice.
Titan Industry is really good.
This is where you combo with your mental note and your thought scours.
Yeah, I'm playing blue green
you're playing Simic. Really?
You're playing Simic just to pay one mana for a 4/4 trample.
Yes.
Titan Industry was so much better. That sucks.
Invigorate is in for Deep Forest Hermit. I mean, I see I'll Become Immense, Invigorate, all this stuff. I'm like, why did they put at least a couple infect creatures in here? But
Yeah.
Because they didn't want us to hate ourselves. That's why.
Loam is in for Scapeshift. I always like Loam.
Loam is amazing. Yep, that's great.
It can run games.
Royal Treatment's been solid. Sure. That's in for Manglehorn. Give Hexproof, and you get a Royal Wall. Yeah,
that's not bad.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
It's like Snakeskin Veil. Yeah. I'll take it.
Seder Wayfinder for Sakura Tribe Elder.
I love Wayfinder. I just love him.
Yeah,
I just love him.
I'm a fan of the Tribe Elder too, though.
Yeah, Steve's cool.
Sharp-Eyed Rookie. This is kind of like a bigger
experiment
pelt
one.
Collector.
Ooh, Pelt Collector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Oh. But it's Sharp-Eyed Rookie in for Nishoba.
It investigates, so it's kind of like Tireless Tracker, and that's a good card.
Yeah,
but it also gets 1/1 counters just like the Pelt Collector, so it's kind of like a mix of both.
Right.
It only costs 2 mana for a 2/2 Vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Survival of the Fittest for Prismatic Omen. Prismatic Omen you only played if you're playing Domain anyway.
Yeah. That was the Scapeshift combo. You even if you're playing Domain, you wouldn't. This isn't that good. Our mana's so good. This card was terrible.
Vengevine for Dryad.
Hey, Vengi.
There he is.
I covered this card like literally like what 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vengevine is super super good. So that's awesome to see.
Then we got Ren and Realmbreaker in for Courser.
Don't like this.
I like Courser.
Yeah, Courser is pretty good. Like that.
Courser to negate your fast bomb.
Ren can self mill, so if you're doing the self mill deck, but
I like Courser a lot.
Like, I feel like you almost have to be playing like what is like Sultai self mill for like that to work. But
I don't like that one at all.
And we get the Surveil Land in for Deserted Beach. Actually, like Deserted Beach more, even though you
Deserted
can fetch
Beaches,
for the Surveil Lands,
but... I mean, the fetching's nice, but
I think Surveil is going to be huge. It's going to be so good.
It probably is going to be, honestly, because it's a good mechanic for sure.
I just don't like my lands that are tapped.
Yeah, but if you have your fetch land turn one, you got no other play. You go grab.
But at that point, I would grab a Trinal. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's all right.
Unless you don't see one, you know?
Like, or just grab a shock and put the shock in tapped. Like,
right.
Think about it this way. Surveil one, if you put it in the graveyard, like you didn't need that land on top, you basically, like, time walked yourself. You gave yourself an extra turn because you just don't draw that land. You draw a new card.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, I can see both sides of it. We'll see. I've been thinking that they're just, like, medium. So far. Let's see. Then we got No More Lies in for Tamishii. No More Lies has been good.
Yeah, no
more counter spells.
Yeah, and exiles too if it works.
Yeah.
Spell Queller is back for Shirokai.
Solid.
Yeah, it's pretty
both easy. Are interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
And Elegant Parlors in for the Restless Biovac.
We said all before about Surveil lands.
Yep. Yeah.
Master of Death is in for Sword of the Meek. There's another one where you can just mill it.
Survival of the Fittest, Fauna Shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep.
Undercity Sewers for Dark Swift Shores. Whale the Forgotten for Eritai.
I liked Eritai a lot. 4 mana is a lot. But I've seen some lists in like Vintage and Legacy of running like one copy of Whale of the Forgotten, so it might be good.
So 2 mana, if you have Descendant, you get to bounce, discard, and get a card in your hand.
That's pretty good. All 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Deathrite Shaman, he's good for Candelabra.
Yeah, but for Candelabra,
I mean, Candelabra's only good with a handful of cards. Like,
I guess, yeah. And Deathrite's super, super, super good.
Solid all around.
Such a good card. So
Hogak, which I'm not a fan of, but I mean, whatever, it works for the graveyard deck. For Ugin,
what? I love Ugin. Don't like the Gak?
Really? But
Ugin. No, I've never been a fan of Hogak, even when he was good in Modern.
But Ugin. Ugin just thought he was such a good flipping Ugin card. Oh, that I don't know.
What don't you like about the Gak? That he's so powerful.
He is
powerful. Yeah, but I have to be playing something that puts it in the graveyard. I can't just cast it from my hand.
Yeah.
Like
if I draw it, it's a dead card.
Jam it and you that's fucking wreak like havoc.
Because every single time I play it, I draw it and then it's going true.
Oh yeah, that fucking sucks.
It's the RNG.
Yeah, you're playing the coin flips. Come on, Corey, I thought you liked playing coin flips.
Not with Hogak, I don't. Insidious Roots is in for Maswa Dreadknight. Insidious Roots is pretty solid.
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah.
I don't see how this card works. I don't understand this.
Well,
card.
It's mainly for the leave your graveyard part. The tokens part doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean,
so
you don't get too far.
Like you delve something away, or you reanimate something, or whatever, right? Or you flashback something, and you get a 0/1 and put a 1/1 on all your plants. And the second time you do it, you have a 1/2 and another, or and a
1/1 on all your shit. Yeah.
You know, so they keep growing. If you could do it like 3-4 times,
the stars got aligned for me. I don't know. What if this is like Hogak, where you draw your fourth spell, you already played your delve, and then you draw into this, and it's like, what do I do? This is nothing.
Oh, well, then you play a 2-mana nothing.
I don't know if I like this card. I'll have to see it work.
I don't know. I've had it played against me, and they just had the nuts.
Okay.
And then they have like a 4/3 and a 3 something and a 2 something and a 1, and it's like, Jesus, you got like 4 tokens.
They can all tap for mana too, so okay.
Yeah, and they can all tap for mana as well.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to see it.
But if it gets answered or you don't have something to make it work, then yeah, it just sucks. But the high end is there.
Yeah, ceiling's there for sure.
Underground Mortuary for the Rot Farm, Commercial District for the Turf.
That's fine. I honestly, I don't know how I feel about the double lands, man. Like, I think I'd rather have the Surveil land, honestly.
Than the Bounce lands?
The Bounce lands are so slow.
Yeah, they're slow.
They're nice late game, like, especially if you need, like the colors and stuff. But if you get them, like, toward the beginning of the game, it hurts sometimes. Like, it's
kind of card draw, pseudo card draw, where it counts as, like, 2 lands in a way where you don't need to draw as many. It's good with untappers.
But especially if you don't have any basics to bounce in your hand and you only have like lands that come to play tap, then like you cry a lot.
No one's playing Clue Edition again.
Let's see, you got Falador for Escape to the Wilds.
I'm excited for this card.
Yeah, that card's kind of cool.
It looks sick.
Exile or Land Enters. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not bad at all.
It looks
Cascade
sick.
Cascade Bluffs for Spire Bluff Canal. It's basically the same thing.
That's pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Fine Hornels for Devoted Druid. I like Devoted Druid, but
Devoted Druid's a little better.
I don't. I think 2 mana is just a little bit too much. Like when green does good, like
you have a lot of one drops.
It's getting that 1/3 is now green's identity. It's not really like play a bunch of elves and Crater Hoof. Yeah, you could do that, but that's not the strongest deck anymore. It's like turn 1 elf, turn 2 Oko, and stuff like that. They're cutting like the Hermit, the Squirrels, like the old classic green is just not there anymore. So I think the 1 mana to 2 mana is huge.
Sure.
Galvanic Iteration in for Fire and Ice. That's good. I like Iteration.
Mm-hmm. Iteration is really good.
I'm a fan of Fire and Ice, but we'll see. It seems fun. Iteration seems fun.
Thundering Falls for the Coast. Priest of Felrite's in for Ashen Rider. I saw this and I was like, why?
Really?
Yeah. It kind of like reminded me. I was like, oh yeah, that is a card.
That's a card that I play when I don't have other reanimate spells that are good.
Yeah. What's nice is that you can incidentally, or you can mill this one or discard this one and then unearth it later. Like you don't need to play it, but
yeah, for 5.
For 5.
Yeah. That's just
don't know. It's weird.
Ashen Rider just seems better.
Shadowy Backstreet for Shattered Sanctum.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, Carnage Interpreter. Discard your hand, investigate four times.
Ooh.
You have one or fewer cards, it gets +2/+2 a menace. In for Valky.
So three mana, 5/5, four clues. That seems insane.
Mm-hmm. Especially, again, insane. In red, how often do you actually have a hand?
Exactly. Exactly. Then you
a lot of times you're probably not having much of a downside. Like that that can be really good. Yeah.
Fulminator Mage is back for Jaretti.
He seems fun.
He does seem fun.
I loved Duretti, though. I'm super hurt about that. Duretti was my man. Yeah,
Duretti was pretty good, for sure.
Lavaka Reaches is back for Restless Vents.
Oh, yeah. Tortoise combo. Let's go.
The Theater's in for the Ridge. So we got Arwen, the Mortal Queen, in for Renegade Railer. I didn't really care about Renegade Railer anyway.
Arwen seems fun with Caracas again. I'll have to bring that up, where you get a bouncer and then reuse the indestructible counters.
Knight of Autumn for Knight of the Reliquary. ETB matters.
Yeah, Reliquary
is kind of a classic,
Reliquary
is a classic for you.
Oh, gee.
Yeah.
Lush, Portillo, or whatever. The Surveil Land for the Bounce Land, that's fine.
Yep.
Another Surveil Land for Bounce Land. All right, Kinnan for Sail into the West.
I had to, like, double check. I was like, wait, Kinnan was out? I thought he was in. I'm glad he's back in.
Yeah.
Kinnan's good.
I liked Sail to the West, though. It was like a sneaky draw 7 that, I mean, I like my combo decks, so I love every single draw 7. So, I don't know. A little sad, but Kinnan's awesome. So
yeah.
Unruly Krasis is in for Bring to Light.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's a Shark Octopus Lizard.
The Sharktopus?
From Clue.
Yeah.
Its power matters, so they put a lot of those in here.
I mean, that's fine, sure.
Leovold's back.
Yes.
For Golos.
Yes.
Another card for the draw 7 decks.
Yeah.
Rafine is in for Thopter Foundry. I'm a fan of Rafine.
Yeah.
No more artifacts tier.
You keep making people connive.
Yeah. It just seems mid-rangey. I don't know.
It definitely is mid-rangey, but he's a decent blocker, too, as a 1-4 flyer. Yeah. So.
I like my Vintage Cube to be, like, crazy, not really, like, a standard mid-rangey always, all the time. Where Vintage Cube's like, oh, I turn 2 or turn 1 channel into Imrakul.
Right.
GG.
Agatha's Soul Cauldron is back for the Unlicensed Hearse.
Okay, I'm so hyped on Soul Cauldron now that Kiki Jiki's back in.
Oh,
Did a run.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be up on YouTube by now, but I did a run with Kiki Jiki. Someone killed it, and then I Soul Cauldron the Kiki, and now my Pestermite has the Kiki power.
Oh my god.
It's so good. So all my combo pieces were now Kikis themselves.
No, man.
Alter Dementia for Helm of Awakening.
Sad about Helm, but I think Alter is going to be sneaky in people who have 40 card decks only.
Right.
Like you draw 7 and then you draw a couple cards turn 3, there's only 30 cards left. Like,
right.
Yeah.
You could mill someone pretty easily. Or yourself.
Yeah, or yourself. If you really want to do it.
Emrakul the Promised End, that's a sweet card for Triplicate Titan. You can a lot of times play this for like 6-7 mana.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those Eldrazi's really that don't shuffle. So you can reanimate them. Reanimate gets a buff.
Hollow One, if you've cycled or discarded, you can play it for cheap.
Mm-hmm.
In for Sir Ginger. I didn't even know Sir Ginger was in the cube.
Yeah. I don't know about this whole like cycling madness stuff. Like, the best, like, if you have the nuts, the perfect, like, 7, like, you get 2 root rolls out, the Hollow One and Vengevine. You have like that power out on turn one or turn two. Mm-hmm. I don't, is that even that good? If you have the nuts,
right? It's fun though.
It does seem fun.
It does seem really fun
it
to me.
Fun. I don't know how good it's gonna be.
I mean, yeah, they could probably wipe you in like a turn or two, but you're kind of sad.
Mindstone for talisman.
I like Mindstone.
Yeah, Mindstone's good. It's
like similar to the talisman.
Yeah, it's a similar card.
Mutagenic Growth for Valakut.
Goodbye,
Underworld Valakut. Cookbook for the Manifold Key.
Manifold Key was very niche. Mm-hmm. Very niche.
What do you think of the cookbook?
I think it's a good discard outlet.
Food tokens, maybe, and stuff like that. Discard shit.
I don't think you need. I think this was is like cookbook a reanimator.
The cube before.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I was like, cookbook is a solid card.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And then we got Ulamog back for the Cityscape Leveler.
Ulamog's great.
Ulamog's busted, yeah.
Yeah. I do like Cityscape Leveler, but I like them trying out new stuff. I think this is
decent. Ulamog's just a fucking bomb, dude.
It's another Eldrazi that doesn't shuffle.
He doesn't shuffle either, which is also
reanimate
really
that one.
Good. Yeah, really, really good. Take 10, get a 10-10 into play? Sure. Any day. I'm okay with that.
All right, that's all of them.
Let's
go into some segments here.
Segment time.
So first up, we got Corey's crazy card. So my crazy card this week is Dwarven Thaumaturgist. It's a 1/2 dwarf with the ability tap, switch target creature's power and toughness until end of turn. So there you go. Right. You can switch people's power and toughness around.
Okay.
The artwork is fantastic. Gotta say that.
Old school, baby.
Yep.
Nice.
From Weatherlight.
Yeah, Weatherlight. That's a while ago.
How do we break this? How is this good? Gosh.
I don't know if it can be good. That's why it's a crazy card.
Maybe it can be in a specific deck. I don't know.
I don't know. That's a crazy card. I'm thinking, what is that 2-drop legendary creature from Fallout where you draw cards equal to the power that you did combat damage with?
Yeah.
Maybe you switch with like a wall that's like a 0/8.
Oh, yeah. Like Wall of Denial or something.
I don't know. You draw more cards. It can kill walls. Can it kill your opponent's walls?
Yeah, it can do that.
It's the wall killer. All right.
The wall killer.
Without a place for him. All right, we'll switch to my segment. My combo of the day will be Knight of Doves. This is a card from Wilds of Eldraine, 2 and a white, 1/3 human knight. Whenever an enchantment you control is put into the graveyard from the battlefield, create a 1/1 white bird creature token with flying. Pretty nice. We're going to go back to Darksteel for a card called Screams from Within. 1 black-black for an enchantment creature aura. Enchanted creature gets -1/-1. When enchanted creature is put into a graveyard, return Screams from Within to your graveyard into play. So as long as you kill something with that, Screams, then that goes to the graveyard. Your Knight of Doves is going to give you a dove. You can put Screams onto the dove. The dove dies. Screams comes back. You get a new dove. And you keep getting an ETB and death trigger over and over. Maybe like a Blood Artist or whatever you want to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And got infinite ETBs. Sack outlets. 2-card combo.
Beautiful.
You might need a third one to actually like do something about it, but
third one for it to do something,
for it to actually work. That's just the fork, basically.
Yeah, heck yeah.
All right, so my jungle segment this week, I have a kind of classic card here, Genesis Wave. It is a sorcery that costs X green, green, green. Reveal the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of permanent cards with converted mana cost. Ooh, that's how you can tell it's old. It's a CMC. X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Then put all cards revealed this way that weren't put onto the battlefield into your graveyard. So this literally, like, if you just get bored, if you just got board wipe like last term or something like that, you just jam this and then just like, like I play like, you know, pay 10, get like, you know, 7 things. You'll probably be able to play all of them because it has to be 7 or less. Most decks, that's probably going to be just fine. So yeah, really, really powerful card. Really, really good engine in itself. Especially if you have like, you know, Nykthos or something with something else that gives it a bunch of devotion, then yeah, you just go crazy.
So why would you like this over Genesis Hydra? You heard of that card?
Hydra is, I mean, it's similar for sure. Yes. I can't exactly remember what I have to.
Doesn't Hydra only give you one card though?
Yeah, I think I don't think it gives you all of them though. Yeah. I think Hydra's only true. you pay X and you look at all of them.
Yeah.
But then you choose one. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Been a while.
Yeah, this you literally get everything that's a permanent. So
yeah, yeah. Wave of memory. I don't have the cards up, so
they're old.
I'm right.
let me actually look it up just to make sure. Because I think I remember that being the case as well.
Hydra, revealed top X cards. You may put a non-land permanent card.
Yeah, it is a card, yeah. Right. So, sadly, not as good. I mean, you do get the creature, obviously, as well, which is fine.
Yep.
Index. But, yeah. Wave is just insane. Like, yeah, there's a chance you might whiff. You might get a bunch of land or a bunch of spells or something. But most times, you're going to do pretty well.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks again for listening, watching. Don't forget to hit subscribe, like, share, comment, all the above.
Yeah, like we said, if you really want to help us out, our affiliate link is a great way to just help us out.
Yep, click that in the show notes.
In the link.
Or directly on Patreon. Give us some cool perks over there. Play some Commander games with us or whatever. And
we love to play with you.
Thanks for watching.
Thanks for hanging out. See you next time.
Peace.